Finishing off our series on Ephesians this morning, and I hope that it has been beneficial to you. And I kind of looked at doing the book of Ephesians. One of the reasons was just for us to be reminded of the grace and the love that God has for us. That as we talk about going out and making disciples and being on mission and all those things, that we do it out of the fact that he died personally for you, that he knows you no matter what you're going through, and that his grace and his love abounds for you. And it's out of that that we give grace and love to others. And so this morning, to finish off, we're going to read through the whole book. That's what we're going to do this morning. And we have several different readers that are going to come and be a part of that. There will be just maybe a couple of kind of summaries on the screen, but and so there won't be the verses. And so I just want you to listen. I just want you to hear this letter when it was written by Paul, right, inspired by the Holy Spirit and sent to this church. This is what they would have been like. They would have gathered for a church gathering, and they would have listened to this be read. And this is God's word. This is a letter from God to us this morning. And so I just want to encourage you just to listen to God's word this morning. And it's kind of just a paraphrase of ESV that we preached from all those weeks. And I don't know what God was saying to you over those weeks, what there was that was that kind of he was looking to speak to your heart. But I hope that this is a reminder this morning that as we go through it, there'd be things that you would remember, things that God has said, and that we will take from here and apply. And so there'll be a couple different readers. Like I said, we'll pause for prayer a couple times, but that's what we're going to do this morning. So I'm going to start. God's letter to you. A letter written by the Apostle Paul, who was chosen by Christ Jesus according to the will of God and sent to the saints who are faithful in Jesus Christ, the church in Ephesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Consider this. God chose us to be in Christ even before the creation of the world. God's desire was that we should be holy and blameless before him. And so, because of his love for us, God chose, way back then, to adopt us as his own children through Christ Jesus. God chose to do this so that he would get the praise and the glory for how he has blessed us through his beloved Son, Jesus. For it is through Jesus that we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sin. And this is all because of God's amazing grace, which he lavished on us. God has now revealed to us the mystery of his will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan, that at just the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything on heaven and on earth. Through Jesus, we have obtained an eternal inheritance as his children. God chose us beforehand for his own purpose, and he will work all things out according to his will. And the purpose is that those of us who first put our hope in Christ might bring glory to God. So it is in Jesus, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, that you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our eternal inheritance until we acquire it to the glory of God. And then Paul prays for that church. Offers a prayer for them. He introduces it this way. He says, it is because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints that I can't stop thanking God for you in my prayers. And so we're going to take a moment here to pray. And so if Jake and Eliza would come up, Jake's going to lead us in a prayer, and then Eliza's going to do the next section. Thank you.
Would you pray with me? God of glory and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, would you empower us with the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you more? We pray that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened so that we might know the incredible hope we have and how rich we are to have an eternal inheritance from you. We pray that you would grasp the immeasurable greatness of your power at work in those of us who believe. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age also to come, and put all things under the authority of Christ, and made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. The church is his body and is made full and complete by Christ himself, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Amen.
Paul continues by saying, "Let us not forget that at one time we were dead in our trespasses and sins, walking through life according to the course of this world and following the ways of the devil, the spirit that is now in work in all of those that live a life of rebellion towards God. That is how we all were at one point. We lived according to our feelings and desires, looking to satisfy whatever pleasure we could think of or experience. That is living according to our sinful nature, which makes us deserving of the wrath that God has rightly against all that is sinful. But God, being so rich in mercy and love for us, that even when we are dead in our sin, God made us alive together with Christ. It is by God's grace you have been saved, and now we are raised up to life with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places. God did this so that in the coming ages he can show us how infinitely rich his grace and kindness is towards those of us who believe in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You cannot take any credit for your salvation. It is a gift from God. You can't say that you earned it by doing works, otherwise you'd be able to boast about it. Rather, we are God's masterpiece, created to live in Christ Jesus for the good purpose that God has always desired for us. So now let us fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives."
Thank you. That section there, that passage, is one of the most beautiful descriptions of our salvation. And when we did it in the study in the sermon, did the sermon that week, we did our testimony. I don't know if you remember that. And so I just thought it was right to pause just for a moment and remind us that it's come up a number of times this morning. And give anybody the invitation that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you still find yourself pursuing the things of the mind or the flesh, you're trying to run your own life, you're trying to control everything that's going on yourself, and you haven't just been willing to surrender that to him, that you have the opportunity this morning. He knows you personally. He created you individually as a purpose for you, and he's calling to you to come and to know him personally. And he has given his son, Jesus, to make that way possible. That if you would repent and turn from trying to be in control of your life, be your own God, do it your way, and would instead turn and follow him, repent of your sin and give that to Christ, believe in him that his death on the cross really did pay for that sin, believe that his resurrection really does give you that sure eternal life, and then surrender your life to him and make him your Lord. Follow him into that purpose that he has for your life. And so you can talk to God anytime. He's always listening. And so if you want to do that this morning, then tell somebody, make that commitment and one of the beautiful things is that he calls us into a body, and we walk together as brothers and sisters, as children of God, and we want to come alongside you and journey on this together. For the next section, I'd like to invite Doug to come up and read.
Remember this, that before Christ Jesus came, we would have been like one of the ones the Jews refer to as the uncircumcised. That means that at that time we were separated from Christ. We were alienated from being part of God's chosen people and not included in the promises of the covenant between God and his people. We would have had no hope. We would have been without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near to God through the blood of Christ. Jesus himself has made peace between us and God. He has united us into one people. He has broken down the wall of hostility which divided us. And through his own sacrifice, he has abolished the laws and the religious commandments as a requirement to be united with God. The things that separated the Jews from everyone else has been broken down by Jesus, and so he has brought peace. Jesus died on the cross in order to reconcile us both to God into one body, and by doing so has removed all the hostility. Look at Jesus' example on earth. He came and preached peace to those who were far from God, and he also preached peace to those who were near. For through Jesus, we can all have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. So then, you are no longer strangers to God. Rather, you are fellow citizens with all those who are faithful to Jesus and have become members of the family of God. As people of God, we are built upon the foundation that the apostles and prophets laid, and with Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. And it is through Jesus that all of us, being joined together, grow into a body, a temple for the Lord. As Christians, we are being built together by the Holy Spirit into a dwelling place for God. The Apostle Paul was chosen by Christ to proclaim that gospel message to everyone. And Paul considered it God's grace that he got to be a prisoner. Imagine that. A prisoner on behalf of Christ Jesus for those who needed to hear the good news of how Christ had reconciled all people to God through his death on the cross. The mystery of the gospel was not fully revealed to the prophets of the Old Testament as the Holy Spirit had given it to the apostles. This mystery is that non-Jews are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and in fact, partakers of the promise of the covenant of God through Jesus Christ. God in his grace and power made Paul a minister of this gospel, and he himself considered himself to be the very least of the saints because of his life before he was saved. And yet, God, by his grace, called him to preach the unsearchable riches that can only be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul brought to light for everyone the plan that God had kept hidden for so long, a plan that God had even before he created the universe. God did this so that the unified body of Christ would display the beautiful wisdom of God to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly place. God has an eternal purpose for all that he has done. And that plan has been fully realized in Christ Jesus.
Paul was willing to suffer in many ways for the sake of the gospel. And in the next section, Paul's going to remind us that it is because of Jesus that we can have confidence to boldly come before God as his children. And he goes into another prayer. He had this heartfelt prayer on his knees for these people he loves. And this is God's heart for us here this morning as well. And so Levi and Rebecca would come up and lead us in a prayer and then a reading.
We all bow as we pray together. Dear Father, we acknowledge this morning that every person here was created by you, and you know each and every one of us. We pray that according to your unlimited resources and for your glory, that you would strengthen our hearts with the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith and that the love of Jesus would root itself deep down in us. We pray that we might have the strength to comprehend as a church just how wide and how high and how deep is your love for us. Help us to understand in greater and greater ways the love that Christ has for each one of us. A love so great that we can never fully comprehend it. Our desire is that by your love for us, that we would be filled with all the fullness of you. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Paul continues, considering all that we have heard, I urge you to walk out your Christian life in a way that is worthy of being called a child of God. Strive to live with one another with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another out of love. Be eager to have the kind of unity and peace that the Holy Spirit desires. Remember, there is only one body of Christ and one Holy Spirit. We have one common hope for eternal life. There is only one Lord, and our faith is in him alone. When we were baptized, we were all baptized in the name of Jesus. There is only one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all things. This is what unites us as children of God. At the same time, Christ has graciously given us gifts. That is why the scriptures say in Psalm 68, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. The gifts that Jesus gave the church are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Their role is to equip the saints for ministry in order to build up the body of Christ. The goal is that we would all grow together in unity in our faith and in our knowledge of the Son of God. Our aim is that we would grow in maturity to fulfill all that Christ wants to do in us. Becoming mature Christians is important so that we won't be thrown around by the storms of life and get carried away by all the false doctrines or worldly ideas or deceitful schemes of the devil. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every area of our Christian life to be more and more like Jesus. Jesus is the head of our church, and it is when all of us in the body are united together, each of us equipped and using the unique gifts that Jesus has given us for him, that he will make the body grow and build itself up in love.
Being part of that, a church, a family of God, is such an amazing gift to have others around you that can encourage you and help you in your Christian walk. We are blessed by the gifts of others in so many ways. And so I encourage you to engage, to be part of the body. If God has called you here at this time to this place, he's done it for a purpose. And you can just ask yourself the question, why has God brought me here? How can I use my gifts to build up the body? As Rebecca read, it is when all of us in the body are united together, each of us equipped and using the unique gifts that Jesus has given us for him, that he will make the body grow and build itself up in love. It's also humbling to think that we are the body of Christ here on earth. We represent him to a lost world. And it's not just with our words that we do that, but we demonstrate it with our lives. And that's what this next section is about. I'm reading to you from the authority of God's word. Do not walk like those that have not surrendered their lives to God. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned from Christ. Since you heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, you are to throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. It's corrupted by lust and deception. And instead, let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God in a way that is truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Be diligent to tell the truth to one another, because we're part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives the devil a foothold. We should not steal or take advantage of one another's generosity. Instead, we should all work as we're able so that we can contribute to those that are in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Instead, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. For as children of God, we do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God that is in us. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a seal on our hearts of our redemption and our eternal life. So get rid of all bitterness, all anger, all harsh words and slander, along with every evil motivation towards one another. And instead, be kind to one another, have compassionate hearts, and forgive one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Make it your aim to imitate God as his beloved children. That means that you walk in love towards one another, just like Christ loved us and gave himself as a sacrifice for us. As Christians, there shouldn't be any sexual immorality or impurity or greed among us. Filthy language, obscene talk, crude joking are all out of place for God's people. Instead, what others hear from you should be the thanksgiving that you are giving to God. This you can be sure of, that everyone whose life is marked by sexual immorality and impurity, or anyone that covets after money or things instead of God, that person has demonstrated with their life that they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Don't let anyone deceive you by telling you that you can live your life however you want and still call yourself a Christian. For it is because of sin like these that the wrath of God comes upon those who live in disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with those who live in opposition to God. For at one time you walked in the darkness like them, but now you walk in the light. When you walk in the light as children of God, then you will see evidence of fruit in your life, of all that is good and right and true. So do your best to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not take any part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them by showing the fruit of a life that is walking in the light. It is shameful even to speak of the things that people do in secret. But if you focus on living in a way that honors God, then your life will be a visible example to them. That is why it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And make the best use of the time that God has given you, because there's evil all around us. Don't be foolish by living according to what you think is best, but instead strive to live according to the will of God. Don't get drunk, for that leads to ruin, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. A church that is filled with the Spirit is one that shares psalms with one another, sings hymns and songs with joyous hearts to the Lord. So let us give thanks always for everything to God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We show that we've truly surrendered our lives to Jesus by how we live them. And in the next section, Paul's going to go on and talk to us about our relationships. So I'd ask Chris if she'd come up and share.
Congregation of Auburn, here in chapel, it is my privilege to read a part of the letter that Paul wrote to us. Listen with your heart. As Christians, you are to submit to one another in our relationships out of reverence for the example that Jesus set for us. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, in the way Christ is the head of the church. The church is his body, and he is its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her so that he might make her holy. Jesus did this by washing her with the water of his word, so that he could present the church to himself as radiant and pure, so that she might be holy and without blemish. Following the example of Christ, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, because the husband who loves his wife loves himself. We don't neglect ourselves. Rather, we nourish our bodies and cherish ourselves. This is also how Christ cares for the church. He cares for us as members of his body. In Genesis 2, verse 24, it defines marriage when it says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Two people becoming one is a profound mystery, and I am explaining to you that it is a picture of Christ and the church. However, it also applies to your relationship with your spouse. So husbands, you are to love your wives as yourself. And wives, it is important that you respect your husband. Children, God has said that you are to obey your parents, for this is the right thing to do. Now, one of the Ten Commandments tells you to honor your father and mother. And if you do, God gives you the promise that your life will go well, and you will experience the blessings that God has for you. Parents, do not provoke your children to have attitudes of anger or discouragement. Instead, you are to parent them by correcting sinful behavior with discipline and instructing them in all the ways of the Lord. In your work relationships, you are to obey the person you are working for and treat them with respect and try not to make mistakes. Work with a sincere motivation in your heart, as if the person you are working for is Christ himself. This means that you work hard even when no one is watching. And your goal isn't just to impress other people. Rather, your goal as a servant of Christ is to do the will of God with all your heart and to do all your tasks in order to please God rather than to get praise from man. You can be sure that God will honor you for whatever good work you do, no matter what your earthly position. If you are working in a position of authority at your work, then I urge you to have the same attitude towards those you are directing as Jesus would. Stop using threats to get them to do what you're asking, because you must remember that God in heaven is the boss of both of you, and he doesn't see either of you as more important than the other. Listen carefully to these final instructions. You must be strong in the Lord by relying on the mighty strength that he gives you. You need to put on all the spiritual armor of God so that you can stand against the evil schemes of the devil. You must realize that we are not in a fight against flesh and blood enemies, but rather we are fighting against all kinds of dark and evil beings in the spiritual realm. That is why you need to make sure you are wearing all the spiritual armor of God. As you encounter the evil that comes against you each day, make it your aim to do all that you can to stand firm against the devil. Here's how you can stand firm. Fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Then protect yourself by putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And that comes from Jesus. As for shoes for your feet, take the gospel message of peace with you wherever you go. In all circumstances, you will need to use the shield of faith to extinguish all the flaming darts of temptation and evil that the devil attacks you with. Lastly, remember that you have the helmet of salvation to guard you and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, as your only weapon. In every situation, you are to seek help from the Holy Spirit through prayer. And not only for yourself, but persevere in praying for others as well. Pray that we will have opportunities to share the gospel and that we would have boldness to share the words that God wants us to say in order to proclaim God's plan of salvation through Jesus.
That brings us up to where we kind of finished off. And so we're going to finish off this morning with just the last few verses. I'll put those on the screen. But before we do, I don't know what God's been saying to you through this series. I found that just so good just to soak in that this morning. So many memories and reminders coming back. And so I guess my encouragement to you is just to take that and walk in it. Walk it out. Take those truths, go back and study and be obedient. The battle's too fierce for us just to kind of hear things and then carry on with our lives. We need to apply it to our lives. So the last few verses here in Ephesians end like this. They say, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, this is Paul speaking, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Just a reminder there that no matter what we're going through, whatever challenge, trial, wherever you find yourself, to have that perseverance, to pray, to put on that armor and use it, not only for yourself, but for others. God has made us a body, a church family. And so share those things. Pray, be praying for one another, as it says. And then as a church, that we would be praying for the boldness to share the gospel. If even Paul needed to pray for boldness, needed to ask others to pray for boldness, anybody else need a little bit of that same encouragement? We're going to do our Easter series next, and then we're going to do Nehemiah, I think, is what we're going to do next after Easter. And with the idea there of looking at how to do that, how to go out and do the mission that God gives us. God gave Nehemiah, just burdened his heart with this very specific thing and to go and rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. But Jesus has given us a mission to go and make disciples who make disciples. And so how do we do that? How do we go about seeing the people that live all around us, like we've heard read this morning, that live in darkness and don't know the light of Christ? How do we share with them? And then he encourages, verse 21, so that you also may know that I am, know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. You can see Paul's love for this church and these people and wanting them to be encouraged, the relationship that they had. And so again, it's a word for us as well, that we would be encouraging one another and be a church family, be united. And then it ends with this beautiful benediction. And so I'd actually ask you if you would stand, and I'll put it on the screen there, and let's just, if we can just pray this over one another. Okay. Jason's going to close us in prayer. Say it with me. Peace and love with faith to you, brothers and sisters, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all of you who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love that never ends. Jason, would you close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we have come before you this morning, as we've read through Ephesians and as we've learned and heard from your word, dear Lord, help us as a congregation here to walk in your light, dear Lord, to put on the armor so that we can stand strong for you. Dear Lord, help us to be bold as we go forward and as we share our faith as part of your mission for us here in Auburn. And dear Lord, I just thank you so much for giving us your word, for saving this letter that was inspired by the Holy Spirit that Paul wrote, that we could glean so much from it 2,000 years later. And dear Lord, we just thank you for the wonderful blessing that is. And I just want to close with the second verse of Ephesians. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.